Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world? You already know who it is. It's the big homie Ambush, a.k.a. the Southern Secret. And you are now live in the day with the brother Jay, blogtalkradio.com, Green Light Inc. It's a go. It's official like a referee with a whistle. Let's get it, man.
Tryna get this cake up, that's what I'm doing, every move I'm making. I'm improving, tomorrow ain't no telling what I'm doing. Yeah, no telling what I'm doing.
Tryna get this cake up, that's what I'm doing, every move I'm making.
money and you get lost. So you ain't even employed, so how you a boss? Doing my thing, don't care what it costs. I'm ballin', play me and you'll get crossed. And you a vegetarian, you can't stand beef. And you like blind people, you ain't never in the street. Nope, I'm hot and you well, hell. You make it rain, I'm iced out, I make it hell.
Right.
I run this dog, all you do is sprint. You a snitch, the neck, the tail, like sprint.
Trying to get this cake up, that's what I'm doing. Every move I'm making, I'm improving. Tomorrow ain't no telling what I'm doing. No telling what I'm doing.
Trying to get
this cake up, that's what I'm doing. Every move I'm making, I'm improving. Tomorrow ain't no telling what I'm doing.
You are now listening to Lively Today with Jay. Now go get him, Daddy.
Welcome to the show. We got some technical stuff going on, guys, so you're probably going to hear a little raw audio, but it's okay. We'll work with it as long as they work with me and they tell me that we can stay on the air. So going to finish our topic of what we were talking about the other day. Number to call is 646-716-7106. Guys, we got some guests that I'm getting ready to bring on because I can't have one of them too long. But if you remember, on Monday's show, we were talking about what's going on with our school systems and how we are going to be able to come to some kind of conclusion to some solutions, that is, to the problems that we're having worldwide. And, you know, I got a lot of stuff I want to talk about, but I'm going to bring both of my guests on right now. So if you guys listen to the show Monday, you know that we were joined by Mr. Lindsay, who works in a school system here in the Gastonia area, and he gave us his insight on what it's going to take or what the problem that he is seeing in lives of what's going on with our local school systems here and why we should be at a heightened sense of alert right now with what's going on and why we should put some things in place. So Mr. Lindsay's going to join us, and I'm going to have Mr. A.J. McKinney. He's going to come on the show also, who is going to talk about it on a military side of view. You guys have very contrasting views, but I think you're going to enjoy the short rhetoric that we get ready to have. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce Mr. A.J. McKinney and Mr. Darius Lindsay. Gentlemen, welcome to the show. I appreciate you coming back on.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, we got some crazy audio stuff going on right now, but it's okay. We'll work it out. So I'm assuming both of you are on here with me, aren't you?
I am. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. So if you can, Mr. McKinney, if you can can you just go ahead and tell us a little bit, or tell the listeners a little bit about who you are, and quickly your stance on what needs to happen, and then we'll have Mr. Lindsay chime in.
Okay. I am a active duty Army service member. I'm an infantryman, door kicker, gun carrier. I'm the one that goes after the guys that nobody else wants to. Been doing it for 11 years. Currently, I am a Army recruiter in this fine Gastonia area. Also a high school football coach, one of our high schools out here. My stance on this is, you know, I just believe we have to have people inside the schools that can protect our children. They're our most valuable assets. And, I think that's where I'll leave it for right now.
I agree. I agree. They are. Mr. Lindsay, now I know you were saying when we last spoke, and one of the things that really hit home with me, you were saying something about the response times and how we need to relook at those things. I was trying to get a clip today, but I don't think they were able to send it to me, where, you know, some of the people that has had issues down in Florida at the school, you know, that's one of the main issues. These young people, let me say first and foremost, that these young people are showing adults how to care about your community, the world, their future, your immediate present. They're showing adults how to do this the right way. And, you know, my hat goes off to those kids down there, because they are making noise and they're doing it the right way and they need to continue to make noise. But one thing that one of the children said that really struck me was that she said that they need to have more drills. They need to practice more. They need to know what's going on in case something like this happens. Because she said that their school didn't even have a drill, hadn't had a lockdown drill, and now this happened.
Well, my thing about drills is this right here. What type of drills are we having? Because the drills that we do in Gastonia, I don't really think they're effective. That whole get into a corner, don't make no noise. Hey, if a man comes in with a gun, he's not coming through the front door. He's not knocking on your front door and say, hey, I'm here at your school to shoot your school up. He's already inside. Mm-hmm. He either the gun is in the locker room. I mean, you got to have more, like we said the other day, you either got to have more security, more searching through bags or something. I know that's not a good thing for our kids to go through every day, but the shooter already going to be inside. He's not coming through that front door or knocking to where you can get on the horn and say lockdown drill. It's not going to work. So if you say drills, what type of drills? Because I don't think the ones that we run currently are effective. And we run drills all the time in Gaston County. We run drills all the time. Because the guy that's over security, he comes to the schools all the time and running drills. But if somebody actually come in, how effective is that drill? Because if you're in the gym, you're wide open. If you're in the theater arts room, you're wide open. There's nowhere to hide. So how effective are these drills?
Mr. McKinney?
Yeah, he hit it on the head. I mean, even going back to Monday, the response times, when he brought that up, that's one thing that I never really thought about. You know, if you're one of these schools that are outside of a city area, you don't have a real city PD, you got a county PD or a sheriff that's taking care of y'all, I mean, your response times are going to be horrible. Now, with the drills itself, all right, the reason why I have an issue with drills is because a lot of these kids that go and do these things have been through those drills. They know what you're going to do. They know what the tactics of the schools and the procedures are. They know where students are going to be. And that's a huge issue. I mean, the kid didn't just go to a random school. He went back to his school. So he knew what the procedure was.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we can drill all day and all night, but it's still not going to get us any closer to keeping these kids safe if one of their own classmates is the one doing the shooting.
And Jay, so, one thing I noticed, Jay, I had a conversation with a resource officer yesterday. And one thing I noticed at the school I'm at, we talk about mental illness and we talk about all this stuff. And the reason why I can't stay on the phone long today, because I have to go meet with some teachers of mine, and we talk about a student that we may potentially may get at our school. Okay, he's coming to us. We know he done put a teacher out in FMLA. We know he done try to stab some people before at the school. So why do the county or the school itself let these type of kids continue to be around other kids when you know they are unfit? But you have other agencies that work for the counties. And I ain't just talking about Gaston. I'm talking about Mecklenburg, Gaston, Florida, New York, all these different states. He's advocating for these kids to be in school when you know they're not stable. And that's where some of these people come from. We just had this conversation like the last 2 days. And we may be getting a kid in the classroom that I work in that fits everything I'm talking about. So how is that fair to the rest of the school when he have a known track record of putting teachers out of school, putting harm to other kids? Now you want to send him here to us. Why?
Exactly.
And then when something happens inside the school, it's like, oh, we didn't think he would do it. And that's another thing that somebody said the other day. The biggest problem with most schools, they say, well, it won't happen to us, so we don't worry about it.
Yep.
It'll never happen here. It'll never happen in North Carolina. Oh, that's something that happens out there. It'll never happen over here. And I think with the arrogance thinking that way, that's when it happens.
Well, you know the policemen don't think like that. You know that they think it's a matter, it's not when, it's not if, it's when.
Right.
So
I can kind of agree with that. Because, I mean, going back on Mr. Lindsay's comment earlier, too, about school security. I mean, every school has a security officer. It doesn't matter if it's a a preschool or it's a college university that's a private school. Somebody is responsible for personal security of a school. And we go back to that comment we just made that it's not going to happen here. That's complacency.
Mm-hmm.
RSOs are the same way. SROs, school resource officers, are in a way the same way. They're used to being beat cops, going and answering calls. Now they're inside schools. They think they're going to be dealing with thefts from vehicles, maybe drugs inside the school. It's not in the back of their head that somebody's going to come and shoot up a school in the morning.
Well,
so it all falls back on the complacency. Everybody is complacent in the fact that it will not happen to us, so we're going to continue doing things the way that we do it.
Yeah, well, I guess my biggest thing is I think that if there's better tools put in place, then no one can enter the school if we don't want them to enter the school. But it comes down to a technological problem. They have to be able to afford the new technology.
That's the biggest thing.
Yep.
That you know, I don't know if it's afford, but part with the money. Because I really feel the money's there. They just don't want to part with it.
Right.
You know, I wanted to play a clip about the most secure school in America out in Arizona, and they are like state of the art, and they pay good money to make sure that their school is safe. And that's what needs to happen in this area.
You know, and I don't think it's just with schools, too. I mean, I can tell you right now, I just got back from Georgia from driving down to Fort Gordon. Military bases aren't as secure as you think they are. I could have drove.
And why not?
I have a – exactly. And it all comes down to money. You know what I mean? I could have drove on to Fort Stewart today, or Fort Gordon today with my concealed carry weapon, which I'm not allowed to. You're not supposed to on a federal base. You're not supposed to conceal carry on a federal base. But – I could have drove on the base because all they do is they check your ID. That's almost the same thing as coming into a school. You scan your ID, and you're in.
That's all you have to do.
Exactly. And it comes down to, like we said, that newer technology. I mean, we go to airports where they have body scanners. We can't outfit every school with a body scanner. We can't outfit schools with metal detectors that are actually built into the doorways themselves. We can't afford that. So we got to come up with more options.
Okay, so in saying that, if putting the military, some of the military vets in the schools was a solution, then how is it going to be paid for? If you guys can't even pay for protecting your own bases, how are you going to protect the schools?
Well, they protect the bases. I mean, I'm just saying, when you come onto a base, you have random inspections. But actually, I'm glad I just said that. That's something you can do at schools, too. Every morning, students come in one way, they go out one way. You could do random inspections of students. They do it with us on a military basis when you pull your vehicle in. Maybe one out of every 20 cars, gets inspected by the security officer at that gate. That's a solution, a somewhat of a fix. It helps prevent the fact that a kid thinks he's going to get away with bringing a weapon into a school.
And
now,
we
all know what's going to happen, though. Parents are going to cry about it.
Right.
Why are they searching our students' stuff?
Right.
Well, you know, there's certain rules. There's certain rules. Oh, the law enforcement can't do that. It's the school personnel that can do that, but law enforcement has to have a reason.
And that's a good workaround.
School employees, they can search anybody at any given time in the school system.
And that's a great workaround. I can't believe I just brought that up, but I think that's one of the best solutions that we could do intermediately right now while we come up with a bigger solution.
One out of every
15 kids. But coming to school in the morning, like randomly as they're walking in the door.
Yeah, can't pull them they do that.
Well, they don't do it every day.
They don't do it every day, but they do that.
Yeah, they
maybe
do it every,
it needs
I mean,
to be
think,
bumped up more.
Right.
Yeah,
I think,
for
I
sure.
Think where I'm at,
increase
I think we do it. I think we do it once a week. I think we do it once a week in the mornings.
Mm-hmm.
But if you know, but see, but the thing about it is, it's the same time once a week.
Mm-hmm.
And then they cut
yeah,
out.
There you go.
Calculated.
It's not random. Yep.
But
yep,
it, but
it's
but
not
they
random.
Cut it. Right, and they cut it off by a certain time because I get to work at 7:45. By 7:45, there's no more walking through a metal detector. It's already cut
yeah.
off. If you
well,
get
see,
there at 6,
the
there's
problem.
No more walking through it.
That's mm-hmm. why they need to be in each entrance in the school metal detectors. That way, you don't have to be so calculated. You can close off a door and make them come in another way and run them through those detectors, or the ways that they're coming through, they all run through the detectors. But it's going to take teachers coming in early, which, you know, we already know they ain't wanting to do that because that's extra work on them on top of all the other stuff they got to do with all the testing and ridiculousness that they have to go through. Then that means you got to have an administrator there. And to be honest, you need law enforcement there, and they are there at a specific time of the day.
Yep. And see, one thing at my school, administration don't always be where it's supposed to be at the end of the day.
Exactly.
So
yeah,
I mean,
and that's another thing.
And that could be for numerous reasons. That can be because they're dealing with somebody else, they're dealing with another kid, they're dealing with a parent, but they're not always able to be at their location like they're supposed to monitor what's going on.
Right.
And that's the other thing that comes down with teachers, too. We talk about how the teachers are overloaded, but I can count for you using my hands and my toes the teachers that have a third or fourth planning period, and they're not at school during that planning period.
Yeah,
that's free time they're off work.
They're overloaded. Those are ones that are getting over. Teachers are really overloaded. A lot of schools, their planning period is the time that they have to have meetings, PLC meetings, and those are state mandated. So they don't really have a planning anymore. This is the time where they have to plan to meet with their team of their grade levels. The ones that you see doing nothing, those are the ones that are sneaking off and not doing anything. But I'm pretty sure the school systems right now are pretty tight on the teachers utilizing their planning periods for school functions. So
right.
And then they have to go right back, and it's like they're putting in grades every 3 weeks. It's like they're testing every 3 weeks. You know, so what do you do? And I look at it on a younger level. My wife's a school teacher. I look at the things that she has to go through, and it's absolutely horrendous. Her time management, I mean, she has impeccable time management skills because they give her no time to do anything.
And she's what, an elementary?
Yes.
Oh, yes, they do everything after school. Yeah, it's just I don't know. I don't really think there is a bona fide answer on how to really protect our schools right now.
They got to spend some money.
Like you said, you got to let the money be released to those certain departments because if you think about up north, I'm not going to say up north don't have these issues with guns, but everywhere you go up there, plus the schools are smaller up north. They on one like little block or so. But they have a metal detector at every door. Like I say, you look at schools like Stuart Kramer. That's a big school. That's a big school. And the bigger the schools, it's hard to protect something that's really big.
Yeah, but I can't. It really bothers me that they got a state-of-the-art school and maybe one or two metal detectors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the truth.
I don't understand that. I just don't understand it.
Now, coming back onto we were talking about, you know, securing the schools. I can tell you as an Army recruiter, I can walk into any one of these schools in this county, and it'll take about a good 20 minutes before anybody finds out that I'm actually inside the school.
Yep.
And that
Is
could
it
be in uniform.
You got the military fatigue on?
No, that could be in uniform or out of uniform. I'm pretty sure if I wanted to tomorrow, I could go out of uniform up by Mr. Lindsay up there at North Cassin. I could walk into that school and I could walk around, and nobody will know who I am until Colonel Smith sees me.
True.
I mean, true. That's the thing. It falls back on the
complacency. You can't do that at Piedmont Charter, though.
Yeah, I can. I know him up there, too. We're good. But, no, Piedmont Charter is a little bit different, though, because Piedmont Charter doesn't have as many exits as some of these major public schools do. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, they got students, three or four.
Yeah. Yeah, and the students come in one way and out one way the majority of the time.
Right.
Visitors have come in this one entrance. They don't go in any other entrance. But I can tell you, I can drive over to the other side of Belmont right now, park on the side of the building. I could walk in right by the weight room, and nobody would say a word.
That's not a good look.
It's not. And it comes down onto security. How tight are your security measures? I mean, it comes down on the floor, like the incident in Florida. It sucks. It, as much as it hurt your heart, it hurt my heart, too, because we don't go overseas and do what we do so kids can do this back here.
Right.
We don't. You know, that
yeah,
sucks.
Yeah, but you know, kids have been getting guns for a long, 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 long time.
Yeah, but I want to talk about the security portion of it first, though. So, but with the security portion of it, though, they knew the student was expelled. Where was the security person or the school resource officer in all this, and why didn't they know he was even on campus?
But see, that's another thing that my person I was talking to the other day was telling me. The teachers, the principal, the main administrative staff don't know their kids. You should know.
Yes.
You should know your school. You should know who's in your school at all times. You should know the flow of your school. You should know, like, all right, if he's suspended, we know his drop-off points. We know if he's going to try to sneak back into school. We should know these things. There's no
yeah,
exact
right.
way that kid was suspended, and we didn't know where he was at. Like, we didn't know he was on our property.
Some of the best educators I've ever had, whether it's been at the admin level or it's been at the teacher's assistant level, they all knew all of their students.
Mm-hmm.
They knew them by first name. They knew their mother. They knew their brother, their sister. They knew their father. They knew everybody. And those are the best ones. And those are the ones that I know, like, we had those two teachers that jumped in front of students out of Florida. I guarantee you those two men were just like those ones I was just describing.
Right.
It's very, very, Mr. Lindsay, I know you are short of time.
I might be ready to walk out.
Okay, I know you're short of time. I appreciate you coming on and talking with us a little bit more, but we're going to continue this conversation this week. I'm going to keep Mr. McKinney on just a little bit longer. But Mr. Lindsay, is there anything you want to leave the listeners with?
I just believe whenever we start taking things a little bit more serious in the counties or in the country, I think then we will fix it. When we really say we're going to put our kids first, and doesn't matter the budget, the money, shouldn't be a problem with that. I think that's when we will really get to a solution. I think these kids in Florida are teaching us some good things, and I think they probably will move the needle on this. But we will see. But we will see.
Mm-hmm. I agree, Mr. Lindsay, and I'd like to meet you sometime.
Oh, yeah. As soon as you come back to North Gas, I would love to meet you.
Well, I'm retiring, so you ain't going to see me that much longer, but I'll make a trip up there just to meet you.
Okay, that'll work.
All right.
All right,
Mr. Lindsay, I appreciate you coming on the show, man, and I will connect off the air. AJ, kind of stick around. We got to go to a commercial, and then I'll come back, and we'll talk a little bit.
Sounds good.
All right.
Yep, sounds good.
All right. Number to call, 646-716-7106. You guys are definitely, and I mean definitely, live in the day with Jeff.
Hey, what's up, family? This is your boy D-Lo, and you are now live in the day with Jay. Peace.
I feel the haze of life surrounding me. A patch of fog is closing in to dim my sanity, so I'ma switch to high beam. Climb adversity like the walls of Berlin. Hurt when the going gets rough, you tuck in your chin. I lived enough to get the scuffs and scars. I played the boulevard, but never had to see them bars. I guess I'm lucky, new kids that did me shiesty. My life is priceless in the end. They all got stuck for megabucks, I'm what they can't touch. You break me down and I rebuild again. Give me the tools I need to use forever, questing for these millions. I stand strong like the building, Paul Pavilion. My offspring, I share the same traits when they acquire children. Years to come, you remember this one. As the cut that got you over the hump, plus it bumped. The speakers of pound my lyrics, I'm laying down to be the equivalent of a mind free from imprisonment. Escapism is a my grasp, but life's quicksand, be mad turbulent, never falling off, I'll push on, cause it's urgent and mandatory, it ain't about the fame and the glory, but the struggle, to stay on top, takes muscle, hustle every day, swinging a 9 to 5, my life is paycheck to paycheck, tears and sweat, no time for friends that wanna fake and become foes, I roll solo down the yellow brick road, the sign up ahead states my future's 80 miles away, I'm trying to reach my destination before day. Hey, how you doing? I'm just passing through. While all the while I'm checking my rear view for any sudden moves. Problems, they circle in to try and outfox me. My name is Drake Rock, cause the road's always been rocky. I give the finger to the Grim Reaper. It's not my time to die, so I'm saying bye, bye, bye. Escapism is a little.
Someone forgot to boost.
Excuse me. I think you're the father of one of my kids.
Oh, my daughter's in your art class. Sister Mary Catherine.
Yes.
Minute Maid enhanced with a 5-nutrient boost. Put good in, get good out.
Are you tired of that stubborn belly fat? Would you like to lose weight and change the way you live? Well, look no more. Contact Health Consultants Mr. Ernest and Ms. Sandra Owens at 980-245-6294 to take the Project 10 Challenge. That's 980-245-6294 to get your body back in shape. Again, that's 980-245-6294. Or to get more details, go to www.crunchtime.bodybyvi.com.
You are now listening to Lively Today with Jay. Now go get 'em, Daddy.
Hey,
Welcome back to the show. Number to call 646-716-7106. Again, that number is 646-716-7106. Guys, if you are just joining us, I know there's a lot of people in the chat room saying that they could not get on. We was having some technical difficulties at the beginning of the show. They actually are still working on it, so this is kind of something on the fly that we're doing right now. But it's okay. The show will go on. If you're just joining us, we were speaking with Mr. Darius Lindsay and Mr. A.J. McKinney, and we were talking about the state of our school safety and especially what's going on in Gaston County, that is, in North Carolina. And Mr. Lindsay had to leave us, but we are still on with Mr. McKinney. So, Mr. McKinney, I'm glad you were able to stay on with us just a little bit longer. I know it's kind of choppy right now, but it's okay. We'll deal with it. You know, before Mr. Lindsay left, we were talking a little bit about, you know, metal detectors and how easy it is to access the schools for yourself. How does that make you feel?
You know, it upsets me because in my line of work, I am an expert in security. So, of course, on the flip side of it, I know how to break through security of any situation mm-hmm. I'm in, anywhere I go. So when you see, and especially, you know, one of the schools I coach at and how much I love those kids, and I can see that people can just walk into that building anytime they want and do anything, and nobody knows, that hurts. That brings me back to when you read the news line coming from Florida, when you read the news line coming from up in Connecticut at Sandy Hook. You know, that gets you in the gut, even as a parent.
So let me ask you something. The kids in Florida, they went and marched in the state capitol in Tallahassee. And they were turned away again. They were turned down again, and the state said they will not ban those type of weapons. And they went further to say if you try to ban them, this right there is fines, and there's and if the governor or the mayors try to do it, then they're going to lose their seats. And I mean, it was pretty nasty. It was pretty nasty. Do you think that they should be so quick to say no?
You know, it's kind of like a double-edged sword. You know what I mean? You don't want them to say yes right away. I almost think you want mm-hmm. them to say no right now, because you have to do your research on this. You have to figure out what extra laws and policies you want to enforce, or even just make sure the law in general is getting enforced that's already been put in place. So mm-hmm. you don't necessarily want to jump to, yes, we have a bunch of kids that are out here, you know, they're completely emotional by the travesty that just happened at their school. We don't want to say mm-hmm. yes right now. And then a month later, they're asking, what progress have you made? What progress have you made? That's, in a way, I think that's bad politics.
Right.
You want to feel it out. You want to – politicians, we all know they love sending out their polls. They're going to do that. They're going to poll about what happened in Florida. They're going to try and figure out if the law is being enforced or extra procedures. And, by the way, Florida does have some of the most lax gun laws in the entire country. They're going to figure out if it's being enforced and if they need to add more or not.
Okay. Okay. So what do you tell these families that have lost? Well, first of all, why does a civilian need a rifle like that in their everyday life? I'm just curious.
You know, I don't know. One of my friends as a teacher and I were talking about this one night. And the only thing I could sum up anything into, she can't use an AR-15. It's not an assault rifle, because an assault rifle is actually an automatic rifle that resembles an M16 or an M4. So what you have is actually called an AR-15. It's an Armalite. Armalite's the first company that came out with the design of the weapon, and every other one you see right now that's a semi-automatic weapon is basically a cousin of that design. So an AR-15, you can't go hunting with it, because one of the things with AR-15s are rounds 5.56, 2.23 are your traditional rounds. those rounds will go straight through any object you shoot at it. So if you're aiming at a person, the round's going to go through a person. It's not going to stop inside the person. It's not a high velocity round. It's going to go directly through them. So that's the same thing with hunting.
What would a regular person need that for?
You know, and that's kind of the question, and that's where me and him got on the topic. And the only thing I could come up with is going to the range and shooting, because what else will you be using that for?
Exactly.
Even myself, I have one. It's actually, I'm in my man cave right now, and I have it locked in a box, and I'm looking at the locked box right in front of me. My kids aren't even here, and it's still locked sitting here. I wouldn't even use that weapon for home defense if somebody was to break into my house. You know why? Because that round can go through somebody and ricochet and go all other kinds of ways. So, I mean, we all have rights. I don't want to talk too much about those because I still am part of the Department of Defense. So it's, you know, I'm damned if I do and I'm damned if I don't.
Right.
But, you know, me personally, my views, unless you're former law enforcement, you're a police officer, you're some kind of contractor for overseas, I don't think you need access to this kind of weaponry.
Yeah.
And one of the things that, you know, I have watched the news more since this incident in Florida, and I've noticed that there's actually been more, I guess, push for things to get done this time versus others. From you have finally congressmen coming up, and they're not just talking about the guns. They're talking about society in general. We play video games where we kill people. We watch movies where people die. We don't put a value on human life. You know, when we show stuff overseas, or you get on the news about watching something in Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, you're watching people getting blown up, and mass media is putting that out there too. They're making you watch the videos if you're watching the news. But when you see more of a response, bump stocks. Believe it or not, I've been in the Army 11 years. I didn't know what a bump stock was until Las Vegas happened. Had no idea. But the president has already just, I mean, within, I can't calculate the exact time, but he's already banned those. That's huge. That's a big step up from just having another school shooting and nobody does anything. We hush-hush and we wait for the next news cycle. So we have that happening. We have the congressman out in Colorado that was actually part of one of the students during the Columbine shooting. We have him stepping up to the plate now. So there, it seems like after this, what happened in Florida, these students stepping up, we had protests in Washington. It actually seems like more is getting done this time. And that, to me, that makes me feel better.
So what do you – where do you see this going in the next – I'll say the next 4 weeks.
Next 4 weeks, I think we're going to continue talking about how the bump stock got banned. We're going to have more politicians come out and say that us as a society needs to change as well. We had – I think it was a senator from Kentucky – I actually posted his video. I thought it was very good, talking about video games, movies, music, the devaluation of human life in general, and that needs to be fixed. We're going to hear a lot of people talk about how things in the household needs to change because, yeah, things in the household, you know, with your kids, regardless if they're your kids, they're your kids you adopted, they're somebody else's kids that live with you, they're your kids, and we need to talk with them. We need to know what's going on in their lives, like
you
said on Monday.
In this instance, the foster dad or stepdad or whoever he was, he feels like that child, well, that young man would should have had everything he come to his home with. He had a right to have all those weapons.
And that's an issue. That to me is an issue. Unless you know you have a mature, mentally stable. Let's talk about that. Mentally stable individual, they shouldn't have access to a firearm. Now, I will tell you from I bought a gun here in North Carolina since I've been here. My mental background check was a check sheet.
Oh, wow.
Like I'm going to hurt anybody. You don't have a real mental screening. I don't know. That's and this still was when President Obama was president. So this isn't like it's something new.
That's
this is in 2015, and it is an issue.
But wait a minute! Didn't the Obama administration make it mandatory for more mental health evaluations, and it kept getting shot down?
No, it did get approved, and then Trump wiped it off the table. So it's been there. It was there. And this is what it comes down to. It doesn't come down to federal anymore. It doesn't come down to federal law. It comes down to states policing their own. Because we can push mental health all we want, but then again, it's going to come down to the same thing with school systems. Where's the money coming from? One. Two, we don't have a right as a people to tell somebody, you need to go get mentally cleared. We don't. And that's where all this kind of goes to. It goes to HIPAA.
But
he is an Army
police
recruiter.
Even police officers have to go through a mental evaluation.
They do, because they're also a state employee. They're a state employee. They carry a firearm. They're in a position of trust. So me as an Army recruiter, I had to go through mental exams, two of them, in a period of 3 months because I've been in direct combat to make sure that I was mentally capable of being around young adults and it was right for me to be around young adults. This is through every service. They all do it. Now, with that, though, you can't tell a person, a 19-year-old kid, you need to go see a psychiatrist and get cleared. That's almost a violation of HIPAA, unless they change the law at the state or the federal level, because you're disclosing information that is your personal health information. The federal government can't have a database on every single person and their medical information. They can't.
Well, but I think that if they want a firearm, they will weigh the pros and cons. They will weigh either
agreed.
I'm going to give
agreed.
Him that,
yes.
or I don't get it at all. Now, I understand what you're saying about that.
Oh, I completely agree with that.
I understand what you're saying about that.
Now,
if they actually enforce that,
that'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
But that's
mm-hmm.
the thing. They have to enforce it. It's not Big Brother federal government can't watch every single transaction that's going on.
Right.
What are the states doing? I know a lot of cops because my mom's a retired police officer. A lot of cops get these side jobs they do on weekends or off shifts.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are at gun stores. They can work them. They can call. They can call their buddies and have a background check done. That's the thing. So you have to enforce it at the state level. We can't have the ATF going to every Cabela's across this entire country, making sure we're checking every block. It comes down to the states.
Something's got to happen, man. Some changes got to be made.
I completely agree.
We need to put the right people in office on a local level that's going to hear those changes and going to try to bring those changes in the forefront. That's one of the main things we got to do is put the people who can make the choices in place. We're not doing
You know,
we're just letting everybody get in office.
Along with that, if we can do minor tobacco and alcohol sales things, why can't we do it when it comes to guns? I saw a video, I think it was ABC, no, 60 Minutes. I don't remember when it was published. But 60 Minutes took a 13-year-old boy to buy lottery tickets. He got declined. He threw a 12-pack on a counter of a gas station. Got declined. Try buying a pack of smokes. Got declined. Went to a gun show. Bought a .22 caliber rifle and walked out.
Wow.
So it's not always on, like I said, it's not about all the time the state laws. It's about where are these guns being purchased from? One of the biggest things that a lot of people don't know about is, you know, customer-to-customer gun sales.
Right.
That was actually banned on Facebook. I'm part of a lot of gun groups on Facebook. And that's because, you know, I'm an expert in firearms. So I love knowing about guns, new ones that are coming out. But I think it was about a year and a half ago, Facebook banned the sales of guns on the website. And people are still doing it. And I can tell you that I'm still doing it. Here in the state of North Carolina, you have to have a permit signed by the county sheriff or whatever county you're in before you can purchase the sales of a firearm. You have to tell them what kind of gun it is. You got to tell them where you're buying it from or whom you're buying it from. You pay $5, you get your permit, and then you go buy it. And it was a legal transaction at that point.
Wow.
But I can tell you times where I've drove to the east side of Charlotte with a buddy of mine who moved recently and was going to sell some rifles, and he sold them directly to the guy. There was no – now, we do know the guy was a good dude. It's not like he was a bad one.
But it was against the law, right?
Technically, it was, yes. And that was before I even knew anything about any of this stuff. I had to be educated. I think everybody needs to be educated on this kind of stuff.
Yeah,
and now I know that. And that's why, like, my firearms, they're mine. Until I take it and trade it in at an established gun sales place to buy a new one or just to sell it. You don't take them to pawn shops. Pawn shops always get broken into. You don't take them to your buddy down the street, old good old boy Joey, and sell them.
Mm-hmm.
You got to do the right thing.
Yeah. Man, we need to continue this conversation. I'm running short on time, but I'm gonna invite you back on the show. Hopefully, I can get you back this week and get Lindsay on so we can do this one more time. And I got a couple more people that I'm going to have join you. But I appreciate you coming on the show. If there's one thing you want to leave the listeners with today, what will it be?
Let's stop blaming the guns, because I don't think the guns are the issue. I think it's people, the ones that are committing the crimes, and it's the people trying to enforce the laws that aren't. They're complacent. And that goes along with the schools and security. There's a extreme level of complacency, like Mr. Lindsay said earlier, that, you know, this ain't going to happen to me. And we need to really start looking into that and stepping up just to correct that at our own level before we go any higher.
And there it is. Well, Mr. McKinney, I appreciate you coming on the show. We'll talk off the air, and we'll set up something where you guys can come back on with the other guests that I'm going to have on. So thank you for coming and just enlightening us on some things that, you know, that I didn't know. So I really appreciate you coming on the show.
Sounds great. I appreciate it. Anytime.
All right, man. I'll connect with you off the air.
Sounds good. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Number to call, 646-716-7106. You guys are definitely, definitely live in the day with Jay.
mentors inspiring males for success provides new hope for males ages 6 through 17 in the Gaston County and surrounding areas. Mentors Inspiring Males for Success strives to inspire participants to spiritually, mentally, and culturally grow to achieve personal and social accountability. For more information, contact Glenn Bratton at 704-524-4058. Again, that's 704-524-4058. Mentors Inspiring Males for Success. Gastonia's hope for the future.
Welcome back to the show, guys. I'd like to take the time now to thank everyone that continuously follows the show and tunes in for the show. You guys, I give you this platform. I do it for you because without you, I know the show would be nothing. So I'd like to thank my guests, Mr. AJ McKinney and Darius Lindsay, for coming on the show today to talk a little bit about what's going on in our schools. We're not done yet, guys. We got a lot more discussion to do. Check out the show tomorrow. I got some very interesting guests for you tomorrow on the show. We're going to have a good time. Hopefully, we won't have any tech difficulties. Keep my fingers crossed on that. Sorry for the difficulties today, but, you know, the show must go on. So I tell you this, as I tell you each and every day, I love you guys with the greatest love I know, the love of God, because he gives it to me each and every day. So if you don't tell somebody that you love them, because you might not have tomorrow. You guys, I will see you again. Assalamu alaikum, meaning peace be unto you. You guys have definitely been live in the day with me.